life, universe, and everything. So settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvie Avery.
This is Sylvie Avery, and welcome to Spirits Works, the metaphysical, paranormal, and spiritual information show that is designed to stretch your mind and help you to think outside of the box. Now, on today's show, as usual, my husband Mick will be deep trance channeling, and we are doing part three of our program about Gregory's journey into the spirit world. And if you'd like to join us with a question relating to our subject, then the phone lines are open, and we'd love to hear from you. The number to call in the U.S. is 877. Excuse me, I'll put my teeth back in. In the US, it's 877-876-5227. And in Canada, it's 888-815-9756.
Hi, I'm Mick Avery, as well as Spirits Work on the wonderful and ever-present PBSRadio.com. On Mondays at 7 p.m. PST and Thursdays at 1 p.m. PST, we have another radio show, and that's called Spirit Teaching. You can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. If you would like to know more about us, our books, our CDs, or book an Akashic reading, please do go and visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, and also at spiritsworkradio.com. As Sylvie said, I am a deep trance medium, and each week live on the show, I channel Gregory Hay, who had an earth life 300 years ago. I have the ability to completely hand over my body to the spirit world so they may use it to speak through, and I know absolutely nothing about what has happened during this time. When I go into the deep trance state, my conscious mind and my spirit are transported elsewhere by the spirit team who work with us, and then they bring me back when the spirit communicator leaves. I not only miss the whole show, but I very rarely remember where it was they took me either. It's not like shamanism, which is different, because you're actually dealing with and talking about the journey that you've actually made, and that's a very conscious effort on their part. So anyway, it's my job, so without further ado, I'm going to hand you back to Sylvie. Do have a great show, everyone. Bye.
Thanks, Mick. Okay, Gregory Hay is a spokesperson for a group of spirits of higher intelligence called the White Cloud Group. They consist of many great minds as well as ordinary people, and between them they have access to vast knowledge and insight. They've come to bring their teachings because there is a need for us to have an understanding beyond the constraints of our human mind. The subject matter we cover, whether in our books or on our radio shows, is limitless, and will hopefully help you to become more knowledgeable and better informed as to the nature of your existence on Earth, as well as your continued life after physical death. Our mission is to bring truthful information and knowledge through our gifts of spirit to help people enhance their lives and the lives of others, and to restore the balance and the well-being of the planet. And if you are in the Portland area on this Saturday, we are actually at the area called Selwood at a place called Spirit Feathers. It's a sort of a New Age boutique shop. It's a wonderful little shop, and we have a workspace in the basement, and we will be there from 3 o'clock till 5 p.m. this Saturday, which is October the 6th. And there you will be able to meet Gregory, have a conversation with Gregory. In fact, the afternoon session is actually called Conversations with Spirit, so you'll be able to meet us and meet Gregory. And anyway, if you would like to come, you can reserve a space or you can just turn up. It's if you go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, you can find out more information about this and other workshops that we're going to be doing in the Portland area in the near future. So, and then you can email us at enq@spirits-teaching.com if you do want to reserve a space. Anyway, we'd love to see you. Or if you want to just go through our site and maybe book an occasion reading or something like that, that would be splendid as well. Anyway, there's plenty to see on our website. And, of course, we've still got our video on, our video. And you can see that on there, too, where you can see Gregory in action at a public demonstration that we did in England recently. Anyway, so tonight we're going to be talking about Gregory's journey into the spirit world again. And here he is.
Hello, my dear friend. With love and light, blessings be upon your pathway and every one of you. May the love of the universe constantly shine about in your life journey.
Thank you. So everybody appreciated that. Okay, so where did we get to last week?
Well, I do understand, my dear friend, that we had dealt with our little friend Squirrel.
That's right.
In the halls of learning.
Absolutely.
And that the other encounter that I would like to tell you about before, of course, you must remember as well that at this point in time, there was no time. And so it felt to me as though I was just drifting through the reality that I saw. And that I saw the reality as much as anyone else could see the reality. I have to say again, in a sense, that there were situations where I was looking and observing at various different beings and the situations that were following them or appeared to be following them. Some beings appeared to be not in as much as I could see their outline or anything like that. It was more a case of their energy that was perhaps, as we would call it, describe it, a shimmery. That means to say that it was very much a case and a state of not actually seeing the person themselves, but actually seeing the energy vortex that they created in their presence. So something similar, I suppose, as if you were looking at I'm trying to think of a modern-day situation that you have to reflect the same condition. It would be perhaps if you looked at the heat rising from a fire or something like that.
A radiator or something like that.
Or a radiator, yes, something of that description. And quite simply, it was really, in essence, like that. But it mixed in with that as well was actually a myriad of colour as well. And I could see quite clearly that there were sparklets of colour, almost like fractionated light. And yet it appeared as though the colour seemed to move with a kind of rhythm that it moved to. I learnt afterwards and subsequently that much of this description was actually due to their vibration and the vibration of themselves as an innate being. The very fact that they had accrued a certain vibrancy, perhaps about their physical living condition or something like that, was much to my amazement, in effect, quite evident.
So just a little quick recap for people maybe that didn't hear last week or the week before.
Yes.
It was a case of basically you passed to the spirit world by getting run over by a coach and horses.
Yes. Unfortunately, in losing my head,
absolutely, yes.
Yes.
And then you ended up in the spirit world and your mother came to get you. This is a very short synopsis here.
Yes.
And she took you to the halls of learning, which is where we are now.
Yes, that is true. The halls of learning is not your spiritual home. The halls of learning, however, may well be attached to wherever your spiritual ancestral home is. And that may not be anything necessarily to do with your family group. Understand that, in essence, the whole situation of the spirit and the validity of the spirit is that your spirit is infinite. Because you're part of God. Of course you're infinite. You have to be infinite. So you as a being because you are a part of God, that means to say that your superior nature, the energy vibration of love that you are, and the content of your emotional and your conscious state is at which rate you vibrate. So it means to say then, my dear friend, if you have a being, a body of some kind, a species of some description, and it vibrates at a specific index, that means to say that if it is vibrating at its specific index because of the love vibration that has been moving within and without it, yes, it is due in part to the emotional field events which happen in one's daily life, but it is also due in great proximity to the actual emotional states that you arrive at because of things which you become involved with that happen around you, that you witness perhaps, or that you cause yourself as your own volition, your own judgment and decisions dictate those events to ellipse into your mind consciousness and therefore affect your spirit. All of this is simply the reason as to why it is that many places in the spirit world may be barred simply because of your behavior that you had enlisted whilst you were having a physical life. So, how then would you come to get to the halls of learning if, for example, it was perhaps that your energy or your vibration simply didn't allow you to even see the front door? That's quite possible.
So if you were of a lower vibration,
yes,
you wouldn't even be able to see it?
No, you wouldn't even see it.
That's
very true. And it is very true as well that beings of a lower vibration will not even see either other people around them. They won't necessarily see other energies unless they are of a similar vibration to themselves. So does that mean to say then that that perhaps if one is not an ascended master that you would not see or detect ascended masters? Does it mean to say then that the lofty heights of Saint Germain or Saint Michael or whoever it may be that is proffered as being the spiritual icon or home light of a specific being, taken quite out of context of their religious value, does it mean to say that that being is only perhaps a witness to the few, simply because of their vibration? Does it mean to say that Jesus is only actually acceptable to those who are able to channel them? Or does it mean to say that they are actually more flexible than that? You see, when one looks at one's vibration, you have to understand the actual epitome of it. It means to say, my dear friend, that if you are of a beautiful mind, if you are of a cherished state, but do not hawk it, are not egotistical because of it, do not purvey it as some sort of artifact or material gain, then no doubt it will be that you will gain greater insight. Insight is not something which is proclaimed purely by the actions or words or names that you hire as being your channelees. They are, in fact, the situation is much more discernible than that. It means to say, of course, that if you have someone who is of a really beautiful mind, genuinely so, they don't actually need to even raise the matter. They won't even need to raise the matter of the name of the person that they are talking for or who is talking through them. They do not have to say that they are an ascended master purely because of the fact that they are an enlightened being. They shouldn't need to say that. Just by the words or the deeds or the conditions that are made around them.
Yes, they wouldn't. It wouldn't even enter their mind to say that.
Yes.
Think that they were ascended.
Quite so. So it comes to my point. Why do I make this point? It's quite simply, my dear friends, so that you can understand that if you were a being who was negative in your physical life and that you created negativity, wrongdoing in some way or another, took life perhaps of yourself or someone else, took some other condition, then that is something that you will have to repair in some way. And that means to say that you will have to alter your vibration of which you are in existence of. The vibration index, that's what we call that. It's the actual specific vibration of you as a spirit being, as a spiritual being living in a physical state. That's not to say that it's the specific vibration of your spirit. That is something completely apart. I just wanted to really make that quite clear. Because some people think that their vibration index, perhaps, is a mark of their spirit. Well, no, it's not, actually. It's to do with your conscious physical effort. And what you have created in physical life is then continuing and plaguing, if you like, your spirit. So unless you make amends and deal with the problems that you beset others, your spirit will never come to shine in your life. That is why we ask of you to meditate, a simple, beautiful practice of meditation. That needs no introduction. It needs no song and dance about it. You don't have to have your fingers in some specific way or sit cross-legged on the floor or on a cushion or have bells or chimes or any sweet or beautiful music. Of course, if you need those little props, then use them. But we don't recommend it. What this has to do with the access to the spirit world, and in particular this place I call the Halls of Learning and that many billions of others call the Halls of Learning, strange you haven't heard of it so far, the whole reason for its existence is education. Why then surely does it need to be that spirit, before having had a physical journey, need to be educated? Why does anybody need to be educated after they've had a physical journey? Doesn't it mean to say then that you are labored with the essence of who you are until you once again regurgitate and have another life? Well, no, actually, because you only have one. You have one continuous existence throughout eternity. So, it means to say that with beauty in your mind and your heart, with love in your surroundings, you would actually gravitate to a beautiful existence, perhaps. Perhaps one outside of your previous physical life. How then is this to matter? Quite simply, my dear friends, it will matter because you will wish to understand more. If you only understand up to the point in which you passed and then do not understand any further than that. Do not create anything other than that. What are you possibly going to do? Sit and wait for another life, perhaps, like many would have it, what many religious opinions would have it, that within 40 days you've got to come back and do it all again. The same roundabout. Not actually gaining any insight, not actually gaining any further wisdom, but simply regurgitating the fool's journey. When you are in the spirit world and you come to visit the Halls of Learning, you will be able to practice the whole art of love and giving, just like the being that I'm going to talk about next, and the way that this being gave something very special to me. And that really was about the second journey that I took in the spirit world, because I noticed a being that was actually hovering. Seemed not to alight upon any floor, but appeared to present to me in a sort of form that I could only really wonder at. If you can imagine smoke in an undulating form rising up from some hidden aperture. And you have this smoke, it's a kind of faint blue. And as it moves up through the atmosphere, it curls one way and another, undulating almost like as though you were looking at the sea, but on from a vertical standpoint. And at this particular situation, the sea was a faint dusty blue. And it appeared to be that in the middle of it, it was about approximately 6 or 7 feet in height. And in the middle of it, there appeared to be two spheres, one above another, one at one side of the undulating rhythm of blue smoke, and the other at the other side of it. Not opposite, but one was slightly above the other. And as I looked at them, they appeared to rotate within themselves, and they appeared to be a faint pink, tinged with the same dusty blue that the smoke held. But also I could see that there were particulates. There were particulates which appeared to have a certain focus and held me there, just held me there staring. And as I stared, the being said hello in my mind at first. And then said, would you like to see me? I am a dolphin. Would you like to see me? And I said, oh, yes, very much so. I would very much like to see you. I have never, ever witnessed a dolphin, you see. I didn't know what one was. I didn't realize that such a creature ever existed. I had heard fisher people talk of dolphins and that kind of thing, but I had never yet seen one in my physical sight. And so as I observed it, it gradually materialized in front of me. But it didn't materialize completely. Understand, I could still faintly see through it to the other side of it. I didn't see its organs and all of that business, bits and pieces. But what I did see was this most beautiful and wonderful coloration and vibrancy that came from this dolphin. And it said to me, I am here to show you something of the nature of my life and of that of my cousin, the whale. And I'm calling upon a book, which will be here any moment. I'm calling upon this book so that these situations of our lives together in the sea environment of the earth would then be available to you so that you may learn from it. And as I watched and listened to this beautiful voice ringing in my mind, in my consciousness, it felt like bells. It was as clear and as softening to my mind. To my conscious state, I felt a great welling of love toward this being, because there I was, surrounded by its own love.
What was it? What? Did it have a name?
I understand that it had many names. It had many different names.
Mm-hmm.
Ones that I could not pronounce. Ones that were obviously in some other form of language that I found even difficult to assimilate. I know that some people on your side of life try to speak dolphin and that kind of thing, but this wasn't anything like the sounds that they make.
Okay, well, because he was speaking in your mind.
Yes.
To you, it was mind transfer.
It was mind transfer, which, incidentally, is how very many species of creatures speak, in fact. When you come to the spirit world, you'll know what I mean.
Mm.
Because it's as though they are just speaking deep within you, a resonant voice perhaps, not a shrill, shrieking thing, but a beautiful mind that is obviously attached to it, a beautiful consciousness that seems to rise within one and that appears to actually embellish the very presence of your feeling, your emotion. It just drives you into this ecstatic sense of awareness and oneness with the being that you are meeting with. And this really has been the same for many other beings that I have witnessed, be it antelope or deer of some form, horses, cats or dogs, of course, yes, but also many, many different creatures that we have had a privilege to meet. I say we, I say me and my mind, me and my conscious, me and my conscious we.
You would say it like that.
Yes.
It actually makes it easier for us to understand it anyway, I think.
Yes. It's as though we are having this journey together, me and my consciousness.
Mm. Hello, caller.
Hi, good evening, Sylvie.
Oh, hello, John.
Hi.
Hello, friend. Hello, hello.
Hey, Gregory, how are you doing?
I am never better, my friend. Never worse, but never better.
Oh, good. My question was, you were mentioning about these, when a spirit talks to you and it's like inside of you and you can hear it like it's inside of you.
Yes.
What can you do to bring about that experience more readily? And what could you do to keep the spirit out if you were uncomfortable with that situation?
Yes, if you are having a physical existence, of course, that means to say then that you really, I suppose, need to change your vibration index in order to accept this incoming vibration and consciousness from other beings. So, quite rightly, yes, it means to say that you actually have to begin to make an effort to do this. So, I would suggest, my friend, you try communicating with a fly. Try communicating with some other insects that may be around you. Or perhaps try actually communicating mentally with another creature that you see, perhaps a squirrel. You may be able to make a mental link with that animal, and actually you can do this by practice, quite simply, and then you would understand whether you were actually getting through to them or not. It's quite simple to do. And what you do is that you focus your energy and your consciousness toward another being, and you perhaps ask it to look at you. And that is a good indication, because particularly I would say this is something that you could do with horses as well as squirrels or other animals as well, and that you just simply send the message to them, and then perhaps they may well come to you. They may well look at you directly as soon as you send the message out. Of course, it means to say, however, that you need to have a time lapse of silence before you send the message. So this means to say then that you need to launch yourself into a feeling of conscious, how can I say this? Yes, a form of consciousness emotive sway, which means to say that you actually remove the thoughts that are gumming up your day, that are messing about with your consciousness, so that you are able actually to have a even perhaps if it's 4 or 5 seconds, of complete space and empathy with the being that you wish to connect with. And then you raise your vibration and your thoughts of loving harmony toward them, and you say, send the message. And you actually visualize your message going straight to them in a matter of moments. It should be almost instantaneous, and that they actually turn around and look straight at you as a result of it. And so that is a way for you to actually communicate with animals from physical being to physical being, spirit to spirit in that respect. If you're in the spirit world, of course, and you want to do that, you merely connect.
So presumably John would start on animals and then try that on people.
Well, yes, absolutely so. And of course, you can do the reverse as well. You can actually, this is another pleasant little game, perhaps, some might call it, a little situation that you might like to try. If you see someone across the street, shall we say, that you don't like or that you don't want to meet, you don't actually want them to see you, you don't actually want them to know of your presence, you can actually use the same conscious effort and decision-making in order to completely shut yourself off. So that even if that person is actually on the same side of the street walking toward you and you don't want to see them or you want them to actually look right past you, you can make a conscious effort to allow that to happen. If that is your need.
How would you do that?
By the same process, my friend. You merely move yourself into this subconscious space, we would call it, a subconscious space where you are able to actually close your mind, even though you're walking toward them, you are able to close and focus upon infinity beyond the person, upon infinity of the collusion of your mind consciousness to purely only accept that you are moving forwards and that all else is peripheral and external to your worries. You are only centered upon your emotion and self-completion of the thought process as you are moving through it. And you will find that you will just move straight past the person and they may well not even see you.
Is that something like... Sorry about this, John, I'm taking up your phone call. Is that something like the Sasquatch would do? The big...
Oh, yes. Absolutely, yes, they do it all the time, friend, yes.
So it's a form of...
In order for them to be evasive to human kind.
Only they go a step further and they are actually invisible at that time.
Well, yes, but that's quite simply because they actually change their vibration index.
The molecular structure.
Yes, so that it no longer registers on the physical plane.
Mm.
Quite so. Now, yes, where was I? Yes, now the other side of your question, my dear friend,
John, if he's still there, you haven't dropped off the planet, have you, John?
Yeah, fascinating answer so far.
Okay. And what can you do to stop it?
Oh, yes,
the other
right.
Part of the question.
Yes, quite so. For to do with beings coming in, incoming, that you do not desire or wish to meet with. Well, of course, if it was animals, that wouldn't be the case in any event. So we're not really talking about animals here. We're really talking about beings, perhaps extraterrestrial from another planet, or because they may have some kind of design on you that you do not like, or that their intention perhaps is in some way dishonorable, as not all beings from some other planet are desirable, not at all. There are very many which are not. And perhaps, or perhaps it may be to do with negative energies. And these may be, my dear friends, negative energies to do with beings in the spirit world who have not been able to accommodate their physical journey and their place now in the spirit world. So maybe it was that they created something extremely negative. What on earth do you do with that? Well, that can be, of course, become quite a complex issue, particularly, I have to say, for some people who, because quite simply of the negativity that's surrounding such an event, if you happen to have an attachment or something like that, it can actually be quite dire. And we know of many beings who exist in physical reality, and they have actually had an attachment for years and years and years and years. Why have they still got them? Quite simply because they cannot deal with it. They cannot deal with them, cannot deal with the energy from it, or perhaps they're feeling that their energy is being sapped, drained away from them, that the whole situation is like a, I say this, is just overpowering them, really, and draining all their life essence away. This isn't something that you can just cover up, that you can say some prayers and all will be forgotten. And you most certainly cannot bring in divine angels or whatever to rescue you from such a situation. It's a complete fallacy and an objectionable state of affairs for people to say, oh yes, I just call in my angels, this or that, Gabriel or whoever it is, to actually come and rescind these beings and send them back to somewhere where they belong. It doesn't actually work like that.
Okay, John, I don't know what you had in mind for the second part of the question.
Yeah, it doesn't work like that, but to remove those spirits then, did we say the answer was a good smudging, I think you called it?
Oh, smudging. Well, yes, it can work at times. It's not always possible to do that. Quite simply, if the attachment is a real attachment and actually attached physically to you, then smudging will do very little to affect that. And nor will banging the person over the head with a Bible or swatting their third eye with the palm of their hand, like you would see perhaps some people do in these kinds of stage-managed healing sessions. And that kind of thing. It's actually extremely dangerous, and I wouldn't warrant it on anyone.
Smudging is okay for if you're in contact with negative situations on a daily basis. It's good as a practice to do that quite frequently. But that actually wouldn't stop any interference.
If it was a real attachment, it would still be there. It would still exist. And that's the point I have to say, really. So that is a situation then which calls for much greater drastic action to do with actually finding out the specific gravity and vibration index of that particular being from the spirit world who is actually making that attachment possible. And it is usually not one being. It is usually three.
And I have to say, about the attachment situation, if anybody at all has ever, if anybody thinks that they might have a problem with an interference from spirit, then just not to waste time, because it can be in the beginning, it can take them a while to become attached, and it might just be the case in the beginning that they are just in their auric field and they can feel them physically, but they're not attached. That's the time to get treatment, not wait until years down the line once they are attached.
Yes, because otherwise if they wait years down the history of their living condition, it means to say that it may even take quite a long time to rescue the situation. As I say, we have to find out who the perpetrators are and actually find out why it is they're even doing this in the first place. There is always a story behind every single event of that kind of interference.
Okay, John?
Almost. I just have so many questions. Can you actually talk to an animal, or are you talking to the animal's guides? Because animals have guides that tell it everything, right?
Well...
So are you talking to the animal guides, or are you talking to an animal?
No, it's much better to talk to the animal, wouldn't you think, friend?
Okay. Can I just mention, too, there's a writer, Amelia Kincaid, and she has a very fascinating book about talking to animals. She does that for a living. As a veterinarian, she heals animals by talking to them.
Yes.
So, yeah, her, I don't know if you ever heard of her, Amelia Kincaid.
No.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
Well, thanks,
you
John.
Are welcome.
Thank you.
You are welcome. God bless.
Right. Bye.
Bye. Okay, well, yes, if anybody else would like to join us with a question to Gregory about the spirit world, then do get in touch. In the US, it's 877-876-5227, and in Canada, it's 888-815-9756. that I think we'll go on to the your soul group next week.
Oh, very well.
And continue on with this week.
Very well, then.
Okay, what were you going to say?
Yes, I was just really going to say that animals, of course, they have others from their own soul group, from their own species, who are their guides.
Mm-hmm.
Much like humans have other human beings.
Yes.
Yes? And it will also be, of course, if the situation arose, that there may well be animal guides to a human being as well.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly the same as there may well be animals of a different nature to a particular species,
mm-hmm.
for example. So it may be that you have a squirrel and its guide or doorkeeper may well be some other kind of squirrel, a different species perhaps. It won't be a hamster or something like that,
no.
because their vibration is quite different. But it may well be something which is quite close to a squirrel. A rat, for example, is actually quite close to a squirrel.
Mm-hmm.
And so it may well be that a rat may well be a helper to a squirrel, or something like that. So it's something worth bearing in mind that when you, however, what I'm asking of you to do is to talk directly to the animal, not to their guides or helpers, second to none, but to that being directly and communicate with them. We're using this as a situation of conscious effort, a precognitive situation which allows you to actually transport your mind effort and consciousness straight through to the mind of the being that you are observing.
You mentioned that when you were when you first got to the halls of learning,
yes.
every now and again you said that there was a voice in your head that told you to do something.
Yes.
Where was that voice coming from?
In the specific reference, my friend,
mm-hmm.
It depended really very much about what the situation was. I understood in the fullness of time that it was actually a being by the name of Redwing.
Mm-hmm.
And Redwing was actually my spirit guide.
All right. You was your spirit guide when you were on the earth plane?
Yes.
Okay, but not your doorkeeper?
No, not my doorkeeper. Redwing was actually my spirit guide.
Okay.
And he had, actually, I had no knowledge of him.
No, I was just going to say that.
I had no knowledge of him whatsoever. And in fact, we created a relationship, if you like, after I had passed.
Mm-hmm.
And he stayed with me.
Do you still see him now?
Oh, yes, he's still here.
Is he?
Yes.
Well, he's here now, today?
Yes.
He's still with you when you work?
Yes.
How come? Does that always happen?
He is with me all the time.
Is he?
Yes.
Well,
I have suddenly realized that I've never told you this.
You've never talked about him. We've talked about your other guides that helped you, because I think, who was it? Queen Elizabeth?
Yes. That
was one of your guides?
Yes, Queen Elizabeth I, yes.
Was one of your guides?
Actually, really a helper.
A helper.
She was a helper. She came in for a little while.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, well, we'll go back to that. Hello, caller.
Hi. I have a question. This is Gordon.
Hello, Gordon.
Hello, Gordon.
How are you both?
I am very well, thank you.
Okay. My question is I spoke to you about this problem I'd had around 6 months to a year ago, and I was able to somehow rid myself of these entities that were around me. How was it that I actually did that?
I am just... it's actually quite difficult to reflect back to these kinds of situations when we do not actually have the details in front of us. Because this is very specific due to type and due to the existence of the situation around you at the time, friend.
Okay, so how might I pose this question? Let me see.
Yes.
I was being kind of like badgered and tormented by these energies that were around me.
Yes.
And I had spoken to a mystic, and It was a mystic who, well, this, I consulted a lot of mystics, actually, to try to figure out what the problem was.
Yes, I understand.
And a large part of it was my my own asking for healing from spirit. And it actually was me believing that a lot of the torment was attributed to these energies or entities, while in fact it was more of me trying to heal me, and it puts me, or it put me through a lot of stuff that I really didn't understand.
Yes, and, I understand.
And it's interesting because when you ask for healing, it can really have certain ramifications that you don't understand, because it's like a lot of clearing out of burnt and spent karmas from not only this lifetime, but many lifetimes, and some scars as well, and a lot of cleaning up to do to try to refine you so that you can be free of doubt and fear, and your energy can radiate so that you can be of service to humanity and help yourself as well.
Yes, and, of course. And that is a very large part of it. But however, my dear friend, it sounds to be that the situation around you was not actually an attachment, that they were in your auric field, and that what actually happened there was that these specific energies, I would disagree in a sense that they weren't coming from your own energy, that they were most probably from exterior energies which were gravitating toward you, quite simply because you did not know how to raise your vibration and transcend the energies that they were trying to drain from you.
Mm-hmm.
So you would have actually felt, my dear friend, quite really, that some days that you were not just lethargic, but that you were actually driven to your bed.
It was horrible. There were times that I didn't get sleep for weeks at a time.
Yes.
And it was just absolutely horrible. And I'm just curious, how was it quite that I was able to raise my vibration so that these energies or entities don't have that effect on me? Because I felt when they came close enough that my spirit kind of came out of my body, or I became more ungrounded, which made it easier for them to do this to me. They were like parasites, really.
Yes, yes, that is very true, my dear friend. And that, of course, is how they exist. That's the point. That if you give them your energy by attracting, by allowing their attention to attract to you.
Yes.
And so quite simply, my dear friend, by closing them out, and there are various different techniques that you can use to close them out, I say that for some people, in situations of attachment, that perhaps of a true attachment, it means that they are actually all the way through you. So it means to say then that this is something which actually has to be treated differently. But in the situation that you were in, you didn't actually have to identify. You were quite lucky and fortunate in that you didn't actually have to identify who the energies were, or the situation of their field of existence, or what actually happened to them in their lives in order to alter the effect of what they were doing to you. So usually, my dear friend, what we actually have to do is to find the specific background of different energies. It's not just about you healing yourself, but it's also having a consummate effect upon the other people involved. These negative energies that were harming you actually need to be helped. That's the whole reason why they're there.
Yes, and also, I also felt that there was one, at least, who was actually trying to claim me, so to say. And somehow or another, I was able to more so claim my own space to some degree, or at least enough so that my spirit wasn't actually pushed out, so to say, and ground myself a bit more or better, so to say, so that these energies couldn't come so close. But there was one that seemed to really bother my solar plexus area.
Yes, it would, of course. Of course, my dear friend, that would be the situation, because that is your nakedness, if you like. It is the place where the most negative energy is able to be attracted to. Because it's in a sense, if they can control that area, then they can control you. They can then control the area between your second vertebrae of the neck and fifth vertebrae of the thorax, in order to be able to make their attachment a more permanent situation.
Mm-hmm. Right, and like you said, I am pretty sure they couldn't have been attached to me, but they were close enough that they could cause these effects, so to say.
Yes.
Which were very, very difficult for me. They were very difficult for me. And I just want some type of, I guess, affirmation. Not really affirmation. True affirmation comes from my own heart. But I guess I just wanted to hear what you say to see. Sometimes you say so many things that actually resonate within my heart. And you gave me a healing prayer. Well, you gave it to a lot of people. And I think that actually helped a lot, because out of all of the healing prayers I've read and heard, and yours was very different. When I do that in the morning after I wake up, I truly and honestly feel a physical shift in how my body honestly feels.
Yes, of course, my dear friend. But that is because the prayer that I gave you was actually to help you transcend those thoughts and feelings of the yesterday, or of the previous encounter that you had had. You were reasserting yourself as a being, a spirit having a human physical existence, yes, but you were reasserting yourself in the primal way of this is my life.
Hmm.
And that is what is so important.
Mm-hmm. And I also wanted to know, I mean, I know I'm being a little selfish with the time here, but...
No, don't worry, because it's interesting to other people, Gordon. Don't worry.
Oh, great. Well, I had read a book years ago, and it was an ascension handbook, actually. And I noticed recently, because I really believe that I'm going to go through these episodes off and on with this energy work that's, I guess, my own spirit and those spiritual forces that I attract that are trying to help me heal as a result of my petition, so to say.
Yes.
There was one that I stopped saying recently, and I noticed that a lot of stuff stopped happening to me in terms of what felt like an attack, but I've come to understand that it was an attack. It's just me trying to heal me. And sometimes that's what these forces feel like, you know.
Of course, my dear friend, because sometimes what you have to understand is that sometimes the energies which are around you are of a different vibration from you, a specific vibration that you may not understand. And that is not to cast a slight upon you, but what I'm saying is that sometimes what it feels like to have someone who may love you beyond all condition or beyond your understanding of what love could mean, but that their vibration is so specific to type that your vibration and theirs just are not meshing particularly well. And that means then that you come over perhaps and feel that you are bringing about a form of sickness, or that it's inducing a form of sickness in you. And that can sometimes be actually what is misconstrued as being perhaps an energy that you don't want, when in actual fact it's just because you are at a different vibration to the vibration that of the being who is wishing to communicate with you.
You can also retain, we've only got a minute left, you can also retain residual energy from these beings as well, and they might not be there anymore.
Yes.
But it feels like they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Okay.
That's something else to remember too, and also to be careful with your thoughts. You know, particularly if you are a little bit depressed, don't think about those days. Don't think about those beings, because you will attract them.
Yes, even after you have accomplished a complete resolution from the situation that you were entangled in at the time, if you even think back to those times, you are then sending out thoughts back to those beings for them to be attracted to you again. It's like you're sending a calling card to them.
Yes. I honestly and firmly believe that. I firmly believe it, and I totally believe that. And I make an effort to call my energy back as well in the mornings. And I run an energy loop at night, which is very, very beneficial to me.
Yes.
That's lovely. And the more positive you are and raising that vibration, the less interest they'll have in you anyway, because you won't be any fun.
Quite so.
Okay, well, thanks ever so much, Gordon. Do call again.
I will.
Thank you.
With love and light,
God bless, my dear friend.
God bless.
Always. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, well, that's us come to time as well.
Yes.
We'll talk about Red Wing and the Soul Group and where you went to after the Halls of Learning and next time, okay?
Very well.
Thank you so much.
We will be waiting. God bless.
God bless. Okay, well, thanks ever so much for your calls tonight, and thank you to everybody else that was listening. And we hope you've enjoyed the show. Do take a browse through our website, which is spirit-teaching.com, and do join us again on our next show on Thursday, and then again on Monday, and so it goes on. My name is Sylvie Avery. Until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.